this is our third week of our Encounters series. In the first week, we talked about Zacchaeus, you know, short Zacchaeus climbing the tree, and Jesus sees him and calls him out, right, and has this amazing encounter and this heart change right there. You know, he was this tax collector, and now he's this generous man, you know. And then last week, we talked about the blind man that was healed, and it was interesting, you know, the blind man had Jesus put mud on his face and said, "Now go wash in the pool," and so he had to enter into a journey with Jesus. It wasn't just, oh, you're healed, you're done, right? There was a journey that he had to go through because the physical healing wasn't going to just solidify who Jesus was for him. We see after he was healed, he was even still confused. Ah, he's a prophet. He said this, he said that. And he had to go through this journey with Jesus to get to heart change. And so today we're going to continue our series. We're going to talk about a woman this time. And I love this story. And in fact, I read this story. Have you ever read the Bible, like, and you read something, and I've read the Bible many times, and all of a sudden I'm like, have I ever read that? Have you ever had that happen to you? Like, you read, you're like, I swear I read this whole thing, and I never saw that. You know, do I really read? Am I falling asleep in those parts? You know, whatever. But a few years ago, this story came up for me in my own life, and it was just, it was something I never really considered before. So I'm really excited today to just talk about how Jesus encountered this woman and what that means for us. Cody, do you want to read? We're going to be in Luke chapter 13. So you can open up your Bibles, click open your Bibles, so to speak, now. It'll also be on the screen here for you as well.
And as always, while you are turning your page or flipping your phone over to Luke 13, verse 10, our podcast is up on our website. If you've missed a couple sermons, we reference our last sermons, you know, all the time. So, like, if you need to catch up, those are on our website, villagechurchaz.com. Okay. Let's read. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Nice, right? The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Mm-hmm. So, we want you to pull from this. There, as always, when we're reading scripture, when we're going through these passages, there's a million different angles you can come at, because that's how Jesus works. Mm-hmm. It's so multifaceted. There's so many layers to what Jesus says and why he says it and when he says it and to who he's talking to, right? So there's a surface level that's always powerful and is always truth, right? But then there's these sub-levels that go deep, 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 deep as to what he was really talking about. So we can take a lot of different angles, but really what we want to pull out today from this encounter is that Jesus desires an encounter with those around you. Mm. Okay, we've already set up, hopefully with you guys, that Jesus wants to encounter you, right? You guys have heard that from us, I would hope. And that's always true, right? Jesus always wants to encounter you. But those encounters are also often for those around you, okay? So we can see that this encounter was initiated by Jesus in the crowd, right? He's the one that called the woman forward. He's the one that said, "Woman, come forward," right? And then he heals her, but we know this wasn't just about the crippled woman, like we talked about. There's multi-leveled layers to all this, right? At the same time as he's healing this woman, this amazing miracle, right? He's teaching the crowd around, look, this is how I want you to respond. This is how I want you to see other people. I want you to look outside of yourselves. And he's also teaching the Pharisees here, look, I need you to get your head in the game, guys. Like, you have been focused on the wrong things for way too long, and I'm showing you what your priorities should be in this moment, right? He's saying all of these things at the same time. But again, what we're kind of camping on is that he was trying to show the crowd in that moment that a personal encounter with him should teach them something about the way they relate to others. They had a role to play in the encounter. Okay, so we can ask a question. What is our role in seeing others encounter Jesus?
Yeah, I love this question because you might be here today and you might have read this already and thought, I'm the crippled woman, you know. And I love it. Says she was, I don't love it actually. She was bound by a spirit for 18 years. You know, there was something over her, right? So, and I've heard that before just reading this and I've related to that. But then there's this other thing, right? So what is our role? What is our role then? So you picture, you know, Jesus did miracles, you know, alone sometimes. He just like did it. And then he would even tell them like, hey, don't go tell anybody. Like just, you know, he would tell that. And of course people couldn't keep their mouth shut because they just were, you know, blind and now they saw, you know, or whatever. But here he did this intentionally in front of the crowd. So what is our role, okay, in seeing others encounter Jesus? Because the same way that he encountered her in a crowd, he encounters other people around us, right? And there's something that we have here. The first thing we see here is that our role is to see the person in the back. Okay, so I love this imagery. This woman comes in, right? She's bent over. Okay, and it says, you know, if you study scripture, we don't know exactly what it was, but there was something that she could not stand up straight, right? So her spine or whatever was fused, whatever, bent over. And can you imagine? She couldn't even look up, right? Like she's looking at the ground for 18 years, crippled by a spirit. And we don't know exactly what that means, but we know Satan had something on her. We don't know why. We don't know, did she invite that? It doesn't really matter, right? We just know she was crippled by a spirit. And in the synagogue, the Jewish synagogue where they were, the women were separated from the men, so the women were at the back. So can you imagine this woman bent over in the back behind all these men, all these people, and where Jesus was a crowd, right? Lately, you know, in his ministry, people are hearing about him, and they're coming to hear him preach, and they want to hear him, and they want to know what he has to say because it's shocking them. They're like, wow, this is a new truth. I've never heard it said like that. And so this woman is in the back, right? No one's really paying attention to her. Who knows? You know, the synagogue, that was like her church family, right? It'd be like some woman in here for 18 years that just kind of snuck in the back, right? And can you imagine too, like, how do you talk to people? I mean, you're looking at the ground, right? Like how, you probably don't have a lot of friendships. You're probably not, you know, the cool kid, you know, like it's probably like, well, that's kind of weird. Like, I don't know what's going on with that woman. And I'm just gonna, you know, like you can just imagine being a woman in that society that had that. And so amazingly, and you know it's just Jesus because he sees her. I love that it says that. It says, and then Jesus saw her. It's almost like he's in the middle of teaching and then stops what he's doing and looks through the crowd to the back and he sees this woman that cannot see him, right? She can't see him, but he saw her. And I think that that is such an amazing thing because Jesus always sees the person in the back. Have you noticed that? He says things like, the last shall be first. The person in the back gets to come into the kingdom first, right? I came for the sick, the weird, the broken, the sinful, the prostitute at my feet. That's who I came for. Not the goody two-shoe Pharisee that had it all together, right? Like I came for that person in the back. And if we're going to be people that want to see Jesus encounter through us, right? We talk about that village church, our stories. We have to see the person in the back just like Jesus did, right? You can imagine everyone just like, what? Like who's he talking to back there, you know? So I just love that. It says Jesus saw her when she couldn't see him.
Yeah. And I think practically speaking, like the person in the back often is the person who's run out of options. And they've run out of their own strength. That woman couldn't do anything about her condition. The blind man couldn't do anything about his condition, right? They have come to that realization. This is my life now, I guess. But often, we have a lot of options in our lives, right? If something goes wrong, it takes a long time before we reach the end of ourselves. We reach the end of that rope that we've been holding on to, right? And only at the end of the rope are we going to find those miracles. Only once we've realized there's nothing I can do to bring myself out of this. Right. I am too weak. I am too far gone. I don't know what to do anymore. Only in those moments are you vulnerable enough and are you open enough for Jesus to really be who he says he wants to be in you. Yeah. He doesn't want a portion of himself for us. He doesn't want to just give you a little bit. And a lot of times we're only ready for a little bit, most of us, right? But only when we get to that moment where we're ready for it all, because we're just at the end of ourselves, that's when the miracle can happen. That's when he can show up. And and we want you to be able to see here, you're surrounded by those people in your life. We're going to be talking about that more, but even as we speak, I hope the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind people that you know they don't have any other options left. Jesus is their only hope. Because that crowd had to make way, right?
Yeah. I love it. I went. I heard this woman speak. Her name's Danielle Strickland. I've heard her speak a few times, and she's a major in the Salvation Army, and so she's spoken at a few conferences I've gone to, and she told this story that really impacted me. She said that she was on a plane with a Muslim woman, sitting next to a Muslim woman in the full headdress, you know, and she starts talking to this woman, and you can picture like the veil, right? She can't really see her face, and she's talking to her, and the woman starts to tell her, you know, I have been going to school to teach people that Christianity is wrong, right? The Muslim woman is telling her that. And Danielle is so funny. She's like, well, try me. Like, try me. Tell me, you know, like, I want to hear like how it is. Let's have a conversation. And so they had this, you know, conversation on the plane, and they got into some deep things. And as the plane was landing, this woman got kind of quiet, and she looked at Danielle and she said, do you want to see my face? Do you want to see it? And Danielle said she just was struck by that. She said, well, yes. And she lifted up her veil and just like showed her her face. And let me just tell you guys, people need to be seen. Do you understand that? Do you hear that in that woman hiding? You know, just, do you want to see? Do you want to know me? Like, I've had a conversation with you that I probably would never have had with a woman not my faith. Do you want to know me? That's powerful, right? People want to be seen. And we see here in the scripture, Jesus sees the person in the back. He has eyes for that person. It wasn't just that he had his glasses on that day, right? Like, he has a heart to see the person in the back. And I'll tell you, you know, when I go to the grocery store, you know, I'm extroverted or whatever. So, you know, the grocery clerk's usually just like, boop, 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 you know, whatever. And I'm always like, hey, how are you today? And it always takes them by surprise. Like, oh, I'm good, thanks. You know, it's weird to be seen, right? Because the grocery clerk, you know what I mean? Like, you see with your eyes, but not really with your heart. But when you take the time to see somebody, really see somebody, it can change their life. It can absolutely change their life. And Jesus is wanting us to be those people, guys, people that see other people. Are you following with that? People that have conversations in a way that someone says, do you want to see my face? Do you want to know me? I'm going to pull back the veil so you can see me. I'm going to get transparent here so that you can see me. Danielle could have put her head down in her book on a plane and, you know, never talked to this woman, right? But there was an opportunity there. She was the person in the back. And God was after that woman, right? He had set up an encounter for that woman. And she was there. Danielle was there to be that tool. And it started by seeing her. So if we're going to be, guys, if we're going to be people that play a role in the encounter that other people have with Jesus, we first have to have eyes to see them. We have to, and the way that we do that is we ask God for eyes and a heart to see people. You have to ask him for that because it starts there, right? It's not just one day you wake up and think, I'm going to be extra nice to the cashier. It starts with the Lord, you want to use me. And so help me to see the person in the back, the person that nobody else is looking at, the person that's kind of weird, the person that's like, that's kind of creepy, a bent over woman. I don't know what to do. I feel awkward. I can't really look you in the eye. I don't know, right? So we need to be people that see the person in the back.
Right. Because once we see that person, the next thing we have to do is we have to make a way. We have to get out of the way sometimes, right? So Jesus is the one who calls this woman forward, right? But the crowd had to get out of the way. They had to make a way for this woman to meet with Jesus. If they hadn't gotten out of the way and been selfish maybe and said, well, I want to meet with Jesus, like, who is she? Right? Like, it's my turn. I should get to meet with him. I should have to get to have an encounter with him, right? Instead, no, they all got out of the way. They had to. And it's easy for us sometimes to miss that. Because Jesus sets up moments for the people in our lives to encounter them too. Mm-hmm. He sets up moments for everybody to encounter him. Not everybody takes it, not everybody even chooses to see it, right? But I guarantee there's encounters, there's moments that he has already set up for people. Yeah. And sometimes the way that we can get in the way is if we know our friend is in turmoil, it's a temptation for us to get in the way of that and say, let me tell you what I think you should do. Let me be the one who saves you. Let me be the one who pulls you out. And so unknowingly even, we might do that innocently and say, hey, I'll tell you what worked for me. I did this and this and this and this. But what is the most important thing we can do for someone? Mm. Point them to Jesus. That's what we're called to do. So in that conversation, so when you see that person, and when you know they're ready for the moment is there, they're ready for the encounter, the best thing you can do is tell them, this is what Jesus has for you. Mm-hmm. Not what I have, not my conventional wisdom, not whatever experience I've had in my life. Only if that experience has involved Jesus is it worth sharing.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. Because even as pastors, all the wisdom we have in the world really doesn't mean anything. The only thing, the best thing that we have to help people is Jesus. Point them to Jesus. So when we do counseling with people, we bring them in and we say, you're going to meet with Jesus today. Mm-hmm. We don't sit them down and give them a long list of from some book, you know, that we read, right? Like, it's all about Jesus. That's our role. That's the goal. Every time, in order to get out of the way for others to come forward. And I want to say, too, that isn't just an invitation to church. Mm. Because you know what? Ashley and I aren't Jesus either. An invitation to church is fine and good, right? We want people to go to church because we want them to be in community, right? We want them to see what it's like to be a Christian, to meet other Christians, to have that support base, right? But that isn't an automatic encounter with Jesus when you invite them. It's still on you to show them. Mm-hmm. If you're the one that invited somebody to church, I hope that you sit by them, and I hope that you tell them, look, this is what I learned today. This is what I'm getting out of this. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you what Jesus has said to me and the encounters that I've had. And that can be you too. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the power of when Sandy shared her story, we can all hear, wow, how amazing. Mm-hmm. That's how she, what an encounter she's had. She's had a genuine, real encounter. That's pointing people to real mm-hmm. change in mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to ask, who has God asked you to make a way for? You know, you can picture this woman bent over. She probably couldn't even see the way, right? And I wonder, you know, we just speculate here, but I wonder who was like, come on, he's calling you. Like, I'm going to get out of the way to get there. You know, he's there. Keep going, right? They made a way for her, maybe even unknowingly, but they had to part. You know, there was a crowd there. And so who has God asked you to make a way for? And let me just tell you something. A lot of times this means that they can't see Jesus, all right? There's some people that know, like, that's exactly what I wanted, right? Quick, swift salvation, like, I'm lost and I need to be found, right? But there's some people that they're just crippled by a spirit, right? They're struggling, and you know those people. They're coming to your mind that's just, gosh, they can't get breakthrough. They can't seem to get traction in their life, right? They're crippled. They can't see Jesus. And maybe some of you in here are that person today, you know, but you being the light of the world, right? Being the one, the ambassador to the world around you, the mini Christ, so to speak, as scripture says, to the world around you, is responsible for pointing them that way, taking them that way. And sometimes, you know, Cody and I have had this conversation this week even. When does that mean? When do I insert myself into someone's life, right? When do I say, I'm coming in, okay, enough's enough, right? When do I need to just be brave and be like, you're done? Like, there is a better way for you. And when is it simply just like, okay, like God's already doing something and I'm just kind of along and praying for them, being behind them and having spiritual conversation with them, right? I'll tell you, there's been different times in my life, different times I've gotten to lead people to Jesus, and sometimes it's just kind of going along with like, okay, like there's already a work, but I'll tell you, a lot of times it's inserting myself, right? I see someone on the edge of disaster and I'm like, wait a second, just can we just talk, right? Because the Holy Spirit has given us everything we need for life and godliness, the word says. And so we know we have wisdom, we have insight into that. So we know when people, if we are really seeing people, right? If we are seeing them and we're in their lives and we know, right, the person in the back, then he's going to give us insight into when we need to insert ourselves and say, hey, there's another way here. I'm going to make a way for you. And you can choose to walk, right? She had to own it. Can you imagine? Jesus didn't say like, hey, you're healed, back in the back. He made her come to the front. That is a big deal for a woman to be, a crippled woman in that society, to be called forward, mm-hmm. right? He said, you come here. And she kind of made her way to the front. And so that's on that person. But we are responsible for making that way. Does that make sense? So who has God asked you to make a way for? I'm just going to ask you, is anyone coming to mind? Raise your hand if you have someone coming to mind right now. There you go. Yeah, God has made a way. That's great. And maybe now you're like, oh, I should really be, I'm awake. What? Who, what? Thirdly, if we're going to play a role in someone else encountering Jesus, we have to make sure we don't miss the encounter ourselves. We don't miss the encounter ourselves. Like, can you imagine this woman that people have known for a long time? She comes forward to the front. It says Jesus touched her, which is a big deal. We could break down the scripture like forever. There's so much in it. But he touches this woman, this crippled woman, and then she stands up straight and she begins praising God. And it's this amazing miracle right in front of this huge crowd. And so everyone's just like, oh, you know, and sometimes it's funny when I read scripture, I'm like, oh yeah, that's great, she's healed. Okay, next, so, you know, but really if you just stop for a second and just think about the miracle that was, can you imagine if a woman came in here, bent over, and came to the front, and we laid hands on her, and she stood up straight and was praising God? Wouldn't that just like change your life, right? As the crowd, you'd be like, whoa, I don't know. You know, even if it disrupted the service, right? But the Pharisees were there, and it was a Sabbath day, and you don't work on the Sabbath, right? And they completely missed the encounter. Jesus is standing there in the middle, and a miracle happens, and there's the people in charge that are like, no, 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 no. They miss the encounter, and they start berating the people, right? They start saying, you know, there are 6 other days for you to be healed. You want to come the other 6 days? As if everyone's getting healed the other 6 days, right? Do you see this? They're like acting like, yeah, well, you know, we'll heal tomorrow. Like that happens all the time. People just get miraculously healed in front of everybody, you know, but they missed it because they were so caught up in the details. You know, I wonder sometimes, like, have we done that? Like, there's so, you know, such an order to it. And they didn't have a heart for God, okay? They had a heart for the law. They had a heart and they had some ego, right? Some arrogance. They just were like, this is the rule. And that's all I know of God. And so that's all I'll take. And so I don't know what you're doing. I don't even care to even consider it. But you can come Monday through Saturday, you know, 6 other days. But today, no, because the law says. And they missed the encounter.
Yeah. And what's so sad about that with the Pharisees is that they of all people should have been the ones to recognize the Messiah. See, the Pharisees spent their whole lives memorizing scripture and really being the ones that were waiting and pointing others to the fact that the Messiah is coming. So the Messiah was supposed to rescue Israel and bring them and restore their nation, right? And bring them up to the place where God had intended them to be. That's what they were waiting for. So they were waiting for this guy to ride in on a white horse with a sword drawn and, like, you know, hacking the Romans down is kind of what their idea was, because this was kind of the height of their oppression in the Roman Empire, right? They had no freedom at all at that time. So they were desperate for the Messiah to come. Mm-hmm. But the Pharisees missed it because they put God in a box. And they framed, it was only their framework, what they believed, that God could come, right? Only within that framework can God move. Well, outside of that, there's no way God could do something, right? And we do that often. We don't even realize it, but we put God in that box and we say, I don't think God could operate outside of the parameters that I believe are he works within. And if he ever steps outside of this, that is not God anymore. Mm-hmm. It couldn't be. That's not the God I know. People say that. I don't care if you have memorized every word of Scripture and you pray every day. I hope you have a great relationship with God, but you cannot tell me how God is going to move next. Mm. Only God has that ability. Only God has that power. Yeah. Only the Holy Spirit can choose where he's going to move. I know what I mean to him, and I can do my best to shore up my own life and do the things that he's called me to do, but I certainly can't say how he's going to move in somebody else's life and then put my parameters that he moved in me on them, right? And that's what we can do. It's very easy to do that. And then what comes is judgment. And it's so easy to miss that encounter because we say, well, that's a little weird. I don't know if I believe that now, right? And these Pharisees, they just saw a woman who was in their synagogue. They knew her for 18 years, was crippled, and she stands up straight for the first time, and the first thing they say is, oh, nope, not today, not today. Like, of all days, you know, that's their first thought. How crazy is that? But we do the same thing, and it's really easy to do that, to say, I don't really think God's moving in that area, so I'm going to stay away from that, and I'm going to stay in my own little bubble. And not even give God the chance to be God.
When we do that too, we limit God for ourselves, you know, and we put judgments and boundaries on other people. Have you ever, you know, met someone, you're just like, wow, you're so far gone, you know, like, and just be honest, like, have you ever thought that, like, I don't know, there's nothing I can help you, right? Jesus, nope, you know, and you're not really thinking that out loud. I don't think the Pharisees were like, we don't want to meet the Messiah, right? But because they were so obstinate, because they were so close-minded and so not like, Lord, whatever way you want to move, you can move. You know, in the past, you were a pillar of fire. In the past, you were a cloud that, and there was miracles left and right. They forgot that. They forgot. And they were so, they had judgments on people and limits on people. And that limited God for themselves. And that goes into our next point because I love it. It says at the end in verse 17, it says, when he said this, you know, he calls her a daughter of Abraham in front of everyone. Again, we see Jesus restoring people socially, right? In front of everyone. He's like, this daughter of Abraham. Like, she's God's child. She's no longer a crippled woman, right? She's God's child. He says, when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated. They were humiliated because he's like, how you even take care of your pets, your donkeys on the Sabbath? You give them water, so how much more a woman crippled, a daughter of Abraham, right? And so it says they were humiliated, and I love this. It says, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. And in other versions, it'll say, and the people rejoiced at all the great things that were happening that they were seeing. If we're going to play a role in someone encountering Jesus, we have to rejoice when victory comes to someone else. Do you see that here? You have to rejoice when victory comes to someone else. You know, I don't know if you've ever wanted something and then someone else got it. Has that ever happened in your life? You know, or you hear your friend gets a huge pay raise and promotion. You know, I was home for Christmas and one of my best friends was like, I got a $27,000 bonus this year. I'm like, you know, you're just like, yay for you. Like, you know, have you ever experienced that before? Like, through gritted teeth, like, yay. Why did I get that? You know, and then you get in the car, you're like, come on. Like, I moved my whole life for you. You know, whatever, right? Just honest. Pride comes in. You know, there was a time where we were unsure if we could have children. I had had some fertility issues and things, and the doctor was like, there's a lot of scar tissue. Maybe not. We don't know, you know, and so we tried for Haley for a long time, and it just wasn't happening. And it, meanwhile, my friends that were like, we never want kids. Oh, I'm pregnant, you know, like, and then, you know, teenagers in my life, you know, and just people that it's like, how are you? You're not even fit, you know, and these judgments were coming. I was a pastor at the time, and I'm just thinking, like, why not me? You know, it was all about me, and I was envious, and I was bitter, and the Bible says that bitterness, envy, rots the bones, and if that's not true, I don't know what is. It, like, eats you from the inside out, and then pretty soon you're grumpy everywhere you go, and you can't see anything good, and it's just whoom, downhill from there. And that was happening in my life until God smacked me upside the head, and he's like, you have an issue. You are prideful. And regardless of if I give that thing to you or not, I need you to trust me. Well, you got to believe that I'm good, and I have a plan for your life, and I'm going to make it good, baby or not. Baby or not. If you're never a mother, you trust me, I'll make that brokenness good in your life. And then after I literally just let it go, I'm like, well, okay. Then, of course, Haley comes, you know. And I don't know that God always works that way, but for us, that's how it was. And so, you know, there was this moment where I had to realize, you know what, I have to rejoice when someone else gets the victory, right? I don't need to make it about me. Can you imagine the things people were dealing with in that crowd? And have you ever been the one, like, hope they call on me? You know, I want him to pick me out of the hat, you know, if the raffle ticket, like, please, me, you know, whatever. But it says the crowd rejoiced because they didn't miss the encounter. They saw Jesus move, and it just caused them to celebrate, right? Just, oh my gosh, it's so exciting for her. It's so amazing who Jesus is. I'll tell you, in my own times with the Lord, you know what really fuels that for me? Is just praising God for what he's doing in you. It literally, I go in my, I'm just like, thank you for what you've done. Because by encountering them, I am just so excited to see you work. It's amazing. It's miraculous. Guys, to know the stories of people in this church, even now, we've been here a year, and to know what God has done and the transforming work of his Spirit, that should cause us to celebrate. And too often, we don't celebrate. Too often we're just busy and we just go. But there's got to be a moment where we say, there's victory coming here today. I hope when you see Sandy Edmonds today, when she's coming out, you'll be like, I loved your story and I'm celebrating what God is doing in your life. And it's fueling me. And you know, can you imagine this woman? She's like, I'm healed. And you know, and you can imagine, right? We said if a woman came in here and was healed, how would you go home? You'd be like telling everybody, like in my church, in the blip on the map, there was a woman and there was a miracle and it's incredible, right? So the encounter that he had with someone else, it caused rejoicing and celebration in other people. And we got to be those people. We can't be the, well, good for you. Not me, you know, like we can't be those people. We need to get in the habit of rejoicing and celebrating. And here, that's what we're here for at Village Church. We're going to celebrate what God is doing. That's why we're doing videos and things to say, highlight what is God doing? Not so you can just have a tearful moment, so that you can go home and you can see that as momentum in your own life.
Yeah. So we need to ask, how do you respond when someone gets something that you've been wanting? Right? We all feel that way sometimes, and we all get convicted in that moment. And I think all of us in this room can be probably convicted in one way or another for thinking those things, for having maybe some jealousy towards those moments, right? And remember, conviction, all that means is that the Holy Spirit is pushing you towards something better, right? So don't take that on as shame, don't take that on as guilt, but take it on as him prodding you and saying, no, I need you to be better. I need you to be better for me, for my kingdom, for my people. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture, I'm blanking on the passage right now, but it says to throw off the spirit of heaviness by putting on the garment of praise. Bitterness forms, right? So easily, so quickly through jealousy, right? And who's that jealousy going to be towards? Who's that bitterness going to be towards? Right? If God does a miracle in somebody else, are you going to be bitter towards that person? You're going to be bitter towards God. Mm-hmm. Right? It's towards God, really. Because we're saying, where's mine? Come on. But in that moment, we have an option to operate in that brokenness of selfishness, right? Or we can operate in the redemption that comes, that has come to us when we walk with Jesus, when we're entering to that story, right? And that looks like rejoicing with that person. That's what that redemption looks like. It's praising God in that moment for what he's done in somebody else, because you know what? It's just as important what he's done in somebody else as what he does in you.
Yeah.
It's just as important. That's the model here, right? We've talked so many times about you are here for the sake of the person sitting next to you. If we can all be that way, if we can all think that way, how much better is it going to be for us, because we're going to rejoice for the person next to us. We're going to be thinking, man, I really hope this person's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to pray for them right now in this service. Because maybe Jesus is prompting you to pray for your neighbor, even right now.
Yeah.
But that's what happens, right? So we need to all commit, right, to rejoice. So we have an amazing reason to rejoice in Sandy today, but I know today when we worship God, raise your hand if God's done something in your life recently. That's reason enough. If you can't raise your hand right now, I understand. but you can praise God for the fact that he's real and he's moving. And he wants an encounter with you too. Let those encounters point you towards your own encounter with him. Yeah. So that you can have that moment too. Yeah.
We're going to have the worship team come forward. And, you know, as usual, in the back end of our service, just response time. So it's just time for you and God to kind of work through some of the things that fell on your heart today, right? Some of the things that hit you that you said, man, I need to be the person that sees the person in the back. I haven't been seeing people really. I've just been kind of selfish, or, you know, I always think of, like, I went scuba diving. Well, that's, I guess it's snorkeling, not scuba diving, one time. And I had that scuba goggles on. You know, and you can't see anything, right? You know what I'm talking about? You got those on, you're like, I can only see right here, but there's a shark over here. You know, like, you know, right? Like, oh, I can't see the peripheral. And sometimes, you know, we have to admit, I've been walking through with, like, scuba goggles on in my life, and I haven't been intentional about, I need to see the person in the back. I need to open up my eyes and my heart to see people, right? Do you want to see my face? I just love that. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm just going to give you a moment to respond to God. And this is simply for you. So if this is you and you want to date stamp this day that you make a vow to the Lord, that you say, you know what, no longer am I going to be the envious person, the bitter person, the person that is self-involved, that doesn't see people, that you can do that this morning. You can say today, Lord, I'm yours. I hear you. And I'm entering into this process. Or even I'm just laying it down today. You know, for me and my journey of bitterness, it was literally just one day. It was one day where I had, like, all this bitterness had come up, and then God whispered that truth to me that maybe you're hearing now, and I was like, I'm done. I don't want to carry it anymore. I'm over it. Forget it. I'm done. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to make some vows to the Lord this morning. First, I'm going to ask, is anyone in here feeling like the crippled woman? Okay, so we're talking about the crowd, but is there anyone in here this morning that just is thinking, I'm that woman, I'm in the back, and there's a spirit that's been crippling me for a long time, and I want to encounter Jesus today, and I want to be healed. Would you just raise your hand this morning? If you heard this sermon and you're realizing, you know, I've had the scuba goggles on and I haven't seen the person in the back, and you want to ask God for the eyes and the heart that he has for people this morning, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. If there's someone in your life that maybe you've already seen, there's someone in the back that God has already opened your eyes to, and you want to be part of the process of making a way for them to come forward. So that means inserting yourself, right? Being intentional in that person's life to help them come forward to Jesus. Would you raise your hand this morning? Amen. Amen. If you this morning resonated with the Pharisees and you thought, man, I have God in a box and I need to take him out, and I don't want to miss an encounter myself, would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you. Amen. Lots of vows this morning. And the last thing is, if you've been struggling with jealousy, bitterness, envy, and you feel like that's rotting your bones, and you want to rejoice, you want to begin to throw off that heavy garment, you know, and put the one of praise on and rejoice for what God's doing in the lives of other people, will you raise your hand this morning? Amen. I'm going to pray for you now, and then we're just going to worship. And in this time, you know, you can go to the offering station. You can respond with your giving. You know, we're not shy about that here at Village Church. God is blessing our church through your generosity, and it's amazing to see him moving in you. So if you want to, there's offering stations at the front and one at the back. You can drop your information cards in there. You can put your prayer requests on those. If you made a vow this morning and you want help with that, you're saying, you know, I have bitterness, but and I wanted to raise my hand, but I don't know how to combat it, and I need to talk to a pastor, we would love to do that. So fill out that card, put it in there. But this time is a response time for you. Okay, so this is just for you. You just made vows to the Lord. Some of you just made, I think, all four vows, right? You raised your hand. Yes, this sermon was for me this morning. And so we're going to give you a chance to just have conversation with God. Maybe just sit in his presence. Maybe just say, you know what, I'm just going to sit here, and these words that are sung, I'm just going to hear. I'm not going to sing them. I'm just going to let them soak in to my heart this morning. So I'm going to pray for you as we go into this time. Heavenly Father, I praise you, and I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the way that you just speak truth to us, Father. Your word that's thousands of years old is so alive and active. When we read it, it's like looking in a mirror. We see ourselves on the page. God, I thank you for how clear you make yourself to us. We don't have to go digging and digging, God. It's just right. You're right there, and we thank you. And so I praise you, Lord. We know that you're passing by. And Father, all these people today have said, we hear you, Jesus. We feel you, Jesus. And we are not going to be bitter anymore. We're not going to allow Satan to do that in us. No. Father, I thank you for those that have said, you know what? My eyes are opening and I see the person in the back. And I think that God put them in my life for me to help them encounter you. And so, God, I pray a spirit of courage and boldness over our congregation as they go into their lives and their neighbors and their friends and their families and their jobs. God, that you would give them wisdom. Father, that you would open doors even this week to go to see the person in the back, to make a way to come forward. And I pray, God, fruit from this message. I just pray that people would come to know you because of it, that there would be salvations because of the people today that said, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to insert myself and say, there's a better way. And I didn't know how to tell my story, but I do now. And I'm going to tell you, this is who Jesus is and what he can do for you. So God, I pray courage and boldness for us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people that take you out of the box. God, some of us have been Christians a really long time and we have not had a fresh encounter with you. We're riding on the encounter from 20 years ago and we have, you know, our God moments have cobwebs. And God, we say this morning, no, no. We want a fresh encounter. No longer do we want to miss what you're doing in our lives and the lives of people around us. And so, Father, I pray just for the next three songs, would you just unleash your spirit, so to speak, here? God, would you just move around the room freely? Do what you want to do this morning, God, even things that maybe we weren't expecting. Father, we open ourselves to you. We give ourselves to you, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.